This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is the power of leverage. Well, before we get started, though, I just want to check in with you guys, see how you're doing, making sure everybody's moving forward with their goals and research or whatever stage you may be in. I just want to encourage you. And I know after last week's Fun Fact Friday, I probably had some shared some real stuff with you, and it may not have been the most positive, but hey, we've been getting through it. We've been moving on. I learned a lot. It was a great learning lesson for me, and I'm still learning, and I will continue to learn, because I think sometimes when the tough stuff happens, it certainly is a great way to learn and to gain knowledge in this crazy world of real estate investing. Okay, guys, well, let's move on to our topic here. This topic is the power of leverage, okay? Real estate is by far my favorite asset class, even though I've been tempted to sell my real estate properties at times due to some of the headaches associated with rental properties. Of course, I'm referring to just recent stuff like in last week's podcast. You know what I'm talking about. I still think it's the best investment category out there, and the tax benefits aren't bad either. A deep dive assessment of all my assets show that real estate has provided the highest return on capital invested with the least amount of stress. I've invested in stocks and bonds and all kinds of things and have done, you know, okay. However, when I was younger, I was also more apt to take investment risks. Not today. The last thing I want to do is use my risk-free money to invest in stocks. I absolutely hate losing money and been there and done that. And my old dog tolerance isn't quite what it was when I was younger. And I want to hold on to what I've earned and saved. And I want to make wise decisions, carefully investing and leveraging it for maximum returns as safely as possible. That's why I think it's important to discuss leverage, because this is one of the most beautiful aspects of real estate investing. And yet you still need to be wise and make sure you don't over-leverage yourself. Leverage is the ability to take a little or sometimes even nothing at all and using it for maximum advantage to produce significant returns. What really is leverage? Well, it's doing more with less. For example, acquiring investment property using other people's money. This is what most people are familiar with, you know, borrowing from banks or private investors, owner-seller financing, things like that. It's also forced equity that works especially well with commercial properties, and that's through renovations, reduced rent, increased income, and effective property management. Also tapping into equity to increase your holdings. It's creating systems that better manage and optimize your income. There's different types of real estate investing leverage, and I'll just touch on some of them here. I did mention other people's money. That's the most common that people are familiar with. It's associated with mortgage, using mortgages, where you have a down payment. You're able to buy a property for, let's say, $100,000 by putting a small percentage of cash down, let's say $20,000 or 20%, where the bank or mortgage company carries the rest of the balance while you make monthly payments. In this example, using today's rates, probably around 492 on a $100,000 home at a rate of 4.18%. 5% over a 30-year period. But there's other types of leverage, too, that you can do. And especially if you have time, something, for example, accelerated loan payoff pay down. This is often used by people who are working a full-time job. They've got some time here, and they can pay down that mortgage that they have. For example, if you buy a property for $200,000, rent it out for, let's say, $1,700 per month or $20,400 per year, you'd be getting 10% of the home value in cash flow if you spread the mortgage out over 30 years. On a home loan with using 4.5% here interest rate, your principal, roughly around $1,013 per month. Adding estimated taxes and insurance should bring your mortgage payment up to about $1,300. Therefore, you would have an extra $400 a month or $4,800 after your mortgage and of about $4,800 of cash flow per year in liquid income. Now, if you take that amount, in other words, if you're taking your cash flow each month and you're paying down the principal on your mortgage, it's going to have some great benefits. And assuming you have positive cash flow every month, you can then leverage that liquid income to pay off the mortgage much more quickly. Using the same theoretical example, if you put that extra $4,800 each year toward principal, you could pay off your mortgage 13 years sooner on a 30-year loan and save a whopping $76,698 in interest. This is because the more you pay on your principal, the less tax you have to pay over time. So, that's great if you have the time. Or you could, some people may take their cash flow and use it to save to purchase more rental properties. So you're putting that, let's say in this particular case, you're $400 a month away until you accumulate enough to get another down payment on another property. Or you could use the income to improve your property. So this works especially well with commercial properties because you can add value significantly to a property. And then with that, you're forcing equity. And of course, you can pull your equity out. Or some people just want to diversify. So they'll take their rental income and then they'll just spread it out in other types of investments, index funds, maybe even a business startup, gold. There's a lot of different places. Not Bitcoin. Just kidding. Okay. Anyway, so how does leverage work? To understand how leverage works best, let's look at an example of four different people who have $100,000 to invest in real estate. Okay, so I actually explore this in a different focus in podcast 090, and it's called If I Had $100,000 to Invest in Real Estate. But I'm going to do a slightly different twist to it here. So let's explore. Oh, there's a link, going to be a link to that if you guys want to listen to that. Anyway, let's explore how you can use leverage four different ways. Okay, I'm talking four different people here that have $100,000. Person A, let's start with that person, bought a $100,000 investment property with all cash. In fact, this is how I started. I bought my first three properties with all cash. After taxes and insurance and property management fees, the property generated a cash flow of $500 a month. At the end of the first year, person A, who had made a $6,000 in cash flow income, or a 6% return on investment. Not bad, okay? But let's look at person B. Instead of buying one property, person B invests $20,000 into five different investment properties. Of course, I'm simplifying the example here, not talking about closing costs or other things, but just trying to get a rough idea, okay? After mortgage payments, taxes, insurance, and property management fees, each property generates a cash flow of $200 a month per house, or $1,000 a month in net cash flow. Okay, at the end of the year, person B will have earned $12,000, or a 12% return on investment. Okay, double what person A did by taking the same amount of money and investing it instead of one property in cash, but five properties with mortgages. Okay, not only is person B making more money than person A, but he or she also controls $500,000 worth of real estate compared to only $100,000, which means there are more opportunities for home value appreciation, big tax savings, and I emphasize that tax savings part of it, and lower risk since person B is better diversified with five different rental properties. The more homes you have in this example, the more diversified you become. Only only owning one home, for example, and something like Superstorm Sandy floods your house, you are going to be generating zero cash flow, okay? Whereas the chances of five homes all being damaged in the same way, especially if you're moving into different areas, it's going to be much less likely. With five rental homes and one unoccupied, that's only a 20% vacancy as opposed to 100% vacancy. The four others will provide an income buffer for you until you can get the damaged home repaired and rent it out again. Also, you can diversify by picking up, you know, as I mentioned, different neighborhoods, different sized homes, or different renter types. Okay, let's look at person C. Wanting to be very safe here, they invest all $100,000 into, let's say, the Vanguard REIT. I think the numbers, the letters are V and Q. However, the stock market was flat for that year, and they earned only 3.3% in dividends. At the end of the year, the person made $3,300, a 3.30 return on investment. You could say person C had the lowest risk of all, okay, out of the three, since he or she was diversified in hundreds of real estate holdings inside the REIT, right? But person C had no control over how and what the REIT invested in, what rent they charged, or who they rented to. The advantage person C has is really the liquidity of his or her investment. If he or she needs her money, all they have to do is just simply sell their shares. In a few days, the money is there. With real estate properties, selling an investment property or taking out a loan to draw equity out is a longer process. Now, my last one is going to be, because I love multifamily, is going to person D. Okay. Now, person D also has $100,000, but they take only $87,000 of it and uses it for a down payment on an off-market multifamily property that has below market rents. Okay, so this is a property that's probably a little less than market price. I mean, that's the smart way to buy it, right? And this property is a $440,000 eight-unit apartment in Orlando, Florida. Now, this is an actual apartment that recently sold, and I'll have a link to it so you can see that. Person D uses the remaining $13,000, okay, so he spent $87,000, takes the remaining $13,000 of the $100,000 to do light renovation of the apartments. The apartment building before rehab brings in $6,600 in monthly rental income, or $79,200 annually. But with light upgrades, person D is able to increase rents 10%, thereby increasing income to $7,260 per month, or $87,120 annually. The monthly mortgage payment, okay, with this is $2,400 monthly, and other expenses using the 50% rule bring the monthly cash flow to $3,630, or an annual cash flow of $43,360. Okay, that's nearly 30% higher than person B, who bought five houses. Actually, it's more than 30% higher, but anyway, that's $43,000 as opposed to $12,000. Okay, yeah, that's more than 30. Okay, but anyway, I mean, that's a significant increase. In addition, person D, for example, could introduce, let's say, a RUBS program, if you're familiar with that, stands for Ratio Utility Billing System, thereby reducing the out-of-pocket owner expenses even further. Now, here is where you see leverage at its best. As a commercial property, person D can force appreciation to increase value. With increased rent and reduced expenses, the new ROI increases the results in an equity increase, okay, of $100,000. And again, I'm estimating this. A lot depends on local cap rates and exactly what kinds of improvements are being done. But to increase the property $100,000, that's a pretty significant increase, but very doable if you find the right property, right? So person D can now do a cash out refi, taking the $100,000 equity out of this apartment and buying another apartment building. Okay, we're taking leverage to the next level. If he's getting the same returns on the second apartment building, okay, he's now cash flowing over $86,000 a year. All of this with his original $100,000 investment. Okay, getting really close to 100% return on investment. Now he's got two cash-flowing apartment buildings bringing in $86,000 a year. That's an amazing return. You see, there are no investments I know of besides real estate where you can do this. Now, granted, I took leverage here to the nth degree. The key here is to find your own personal balance between leverage and your tolerance for debt. Obviously, there's a lot of debt here, and you have to be comfortable with that. You need to be wise, be aware of the economy, get the right rates, terms, and give yourself enough buffer, and this is important in your planning and in your analysis, to be able to handle economic changes and shifts that may occur. Now, I know there are a lot of investors out there who have hundreds of homes or doors in their portfolio and are highly leveraged. Others balance risk by saving up to buy the next property while at the same time adding extra payments to their highest interest mortgage loan until it's paid off. I mean, if you have the time, managing your personal balance between having several properties paid off and several mortgage properties is ideal. I mean, that's great if you can do that. It might not be the absolutely best allocation of, or should I say, leverage of your funds, but it's a more conservative approach, and it's one that can still give great solid returns. You need to just really find that level of personal comfort and balance for your own financial situation and decide from there. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including links, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Just look for the episode on the power of leverage. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.